Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. This is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. First thoughts.
Yep.
Oh, and there be squalls ahead. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. That is so true.
So welcome in to all of you. We have just viewed the Evil Queen.
Yep.
Episode.
That is
and
true. We did indeed, actually.
Yes. And so did Lady as well. Anyway, so we're going to be going through our thoughts. First thoughts on the Evil Queen. I'm trying to kind of drag this out because once we start.
We're going to start. We're going to go. We're going to
roll. I know. I'll try and put on my good guy. I'm going to be the good cop.
Before we get caught up in everything else, Lana was very good in tonight's episode.
Oh, absolutely.
She was beyond good.
She was
really, really good in tonight's episode.
Yes. And she had a lot of room to go and a lot of ways to go and a lot of parts to play.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, her and Robert are just great together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's magical.
All right. So the first thing I want to say is that was the most starriest, perfect night in Storybrooke I have ever seen. The stars were just so perfect
because
they've never really done that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we're now winding into the final two episodes.
Of course.
With stars in
right.
the title. So right. it's kind of
which is funny because, you know what's funny? I didn't even notice the stars at all.
Yep.
I just didn't.
All right. And so Hook was shocked to find out that he could kill, or he did not kill, Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what I find it interesting is the Dark One could not be killed, except by Hook's magical, enchanted hook.
Or his own dagger.
Or his own dagger. True. Very true.
Right.
So we'll figure that in.
Right.
We're already talking about plot holes, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even 3.5 minutes in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So anyhow, so I mean, that's kind of interesting. And so, yeah, he was shocked that he didn't kill him. And so Owen wanted to trade Kurt for knowledge of how to really kill Rumpelstiltskin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, up to this point, I've been, and I think a lot of people, well, I don't want to speak for anybody, I have been kind of leery about the whole Tamara Greg thing. It's really, what do they have? And come on.
I don't like her.
I know.
I don't think I've mentioned that before, but I just don't like her.
Oh, no, you've mentioned it a few times.
And I don't care for him a whole lot either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay, so the did the queen and her troops bust into the Team 7 hovel? Is that where they went?
I don't think so. I think it was somewhere else.
Okay.
I think it was just one of the cabins. Maybe it was, though, because, well, we don't know where it was. It was just some little shack in a village. That's where she busted in and said that Snow was living there or had been there.
I
don't know that it was Team 7's little
Okay.
hole.
All right. Because we didn't see a lot of it. There was just a short little shot of it. I think we saw, like, the hearth of the fireplace, and we saw the doorway when they came in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I just, I don't know. Okay. What I've really liked about the queen, she's not always this way, but I like that she's always been calculated in that she has acted with passion and done things kind of off the cuff. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes I've seen antagonists and protagonists kind of make really thoughtful moves. And let's not kill him. Let's not kill her. We need them for in the future. So
right.
we're going to kind of leave that. So the evilness is more of the plotting of it. Tonight, in an early section, we see a classic kind of evil character.
Mm-hmm.
When she says, kill them all, bring me Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
When she offers money to the townspeople or the people that lived around Snow White, if they had any information, where to find her, and they didn't really fess up and do anything, she tells the troops, just kill them all and bring me Snow White. So, that's kind of the classic evil character.
Mm-hmm.
But in the past, it's been more calculated, and I was kind of surprised, actually. I mean,
but I think that's because it was early on, and she recognizes after the fact, and we see why that was a stupid move.
And even as I say this, she has made passionate missteps,
sure,
especially with Rumpelstiltskin, because he knows how to kind of pull it out of her,
right,
and then she'll make the decision. Even tonight, we'll talk about that. But anyway, so she did an Order 66 on the townspeople, like in Star Wars when the Sith knocked out the Jedi.
Mm-hmm,
they went over, knocked out the younglings, and all that kind of
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was interesting, Regina. The evil queen said she that Snow poisoned her father.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie.
Big fat lie.
So,
and they know she wouldn't have done that. That's part of the reason why they kind of like played stupid. They didn't know anything because they knew that was a big fat lie.
Yep. I love the irony of one of her lines in the Fairy Tale Land. None of you wants gold. So, you know, I mean, obviously we're talking about money, but I mean, gold is very important to her and Storybrooke, even though she can't stand to talk to him. Okay, here I go. So the
here I go again.
Yeah, Snow White, Mary Margaret talking mm-hmm. to David.
Yes,
on the little pier there.
Yeah,
with this interesting fishing guy fixing a net. Why did we see him? I don't know.
Well, here's why.
Is he the Gorton fisherman?
No, but you know what? I thought it was Hook in disguise.
Okay.
Eavesdropping at first, and then it turns out to be Regina, so.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's who that was? I turned away for a second.
Yeah.
I was writing.
It was Regina.
Okay,
Regina in disguise.
My bad. It was a great disguise.
It was a great disguise. It was her, you know, she has the ability to shapeshift.
She was.
But she, yeah, she.
Knitting, if you will.
She was. No, she was.
Fishing.
Well, yeah, she was probably fixing the net. But. At first, I thought it was Hook potentially, you know, trying to eavesdrop and get some information to you know, spy on Rumpelstiltskin.
And now that makes more sense.
It was Regina eavesdropping to see what they're up to.
And but here's my huge problem is, you know, one of the big story arcs is Dark Snow. She's going to go dark. We've seen this before with the Heart of Darkness, and now we've kind of heard it again. Is, you know, we've seen her heart, and there was a spot of darkness when she killed Korra,
mm-hmm.
and the Mary Margaret talking to David on the pier was not anyone wrestling with darkness.
Mm-mm.
She was still very kind.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying, "Listen, we need to give her a chance. And then David said, no, we need to give her a choice, which was the same discussion they had back when
they were about to
the queen was locked up in that tower after the blue fairy stopped the arrows at Snow's behest.
Right.
So another thing, I'm trying not to be a hater. I'm just being honest. These cyclical things, these cyclical storylines that we kind of hear the same type of thing, and this wrestling back and forth between being good and being bad, being good and being bad. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a drama thing that I don't know. I've not watched dramatic television in a long time. So maybe this is the way it is. You know, a bad person tries to be good, then goes bad, then goes good.
Not usually.
But I didn't get the sense that Mary Margaret had this black spot in her heart and she was really wrestling with it and she really wanted to do bad. I don't know. I felt that was a plot hole.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, Mary Margaret's, you know, one little black spot does not make her evil, right?
Yeah.
You have to have another, there's got to be a few more little black spots to make her lean towards evil.
I love that Rumpelstiltskin is now the war council to the evil queen. You know, it's funny how he kind of eases his way into certain things, and then all of a sudden she's asking him, what should I do?
He slithers his way in.
This is what, you know, and so he's everywhere. He not only is he pulling all the strings, but he's advising everyone to pull the strings he wants.
He's seen the future. He knows what's going to happen.
Yep. So the shapeshifter spell, she tried to pull a Korra, and Rumpel wouldn't let her. Teach
temporarily.
Me how to do the shapeshifter spell. Oh, no, can't do that. I'll tell you what, I'll do it for you.
Right.
And you can't use magic while it's happening. But anyway, I'll do it for you, and then you can get close to Snow, and then you can kill her. You know, it's just she kind of missed that little subline.
Right, she forgot the whole, your magic won't work while you're under it.
As a matter of fact, there was a lot of things of, and I can't remember right now, and I don't want to look it up while I'm talking, but it's just like that other storyline with the other one where Snow rescued Regina from being killed by the archers.
Right.
Very similar things happened tonight in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, the choice, this and that. So it's very, very similar. So anyway, but the shapeshifter thing. And that, because, she had the opportunity to kill, but then she couldn't kill. Remember? Snow had that belt. And she tried to shove the knife into her, and it wouldn't kill her.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, there was this, you know.
But that came after. Remember, in the timeline, this is way before that.
Okay.
So the fact is, at this point in time, she could have killed her.
Okay.
She could have. Because Snow didn't have any kind of protection from Rumpel.
I'm just saying there's similarities.
I just want to make sure you're on the same page.
I'm sort of. All right. And she had the very Korra-esque kind of language. You know, she wanted to snap her neck with her bare hands. And that's very Korra.
Oh, yeah.
She's very graphic, very over-the-top revenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, the show revenge is nothing to Korra. Korra would probably watch the show revenge and just howl with laughter and say, that's all?
Amateurs.
That's it? There's no coal cement. There's no breaking of knees. Oh, come on, you guys. So, and then we did see a little glimpse of Rumpel setting up the whole King George son switcheroo with, you know, he said, okay, first thing, look, I'll do the shapeshift for you. But listen, I need you to do something. Cut all ties with King George. I need him bankrupt. It doesn't matter. Just do it, please. And then he turned her into a very Disney-esque fairy tale 101. The queen or the royal person becomes a pauper. So Prince and the Pauper, Aladdin, we can just keep rolling off all these different things where royalty becomes
a peasant
for a purpose, whatever that is.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's exactly like Aladdin,
no,
I mean,
but just,
the whole thematic motif is there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
So she becomes a peasant.
Right.
And she looks nothing like herself, which is good.
Yep.
And she was kind of mean about what he changed her into. She made a really mean comment. I was like, wow, that's kind of mean.
And so she was totally set up. Rumpel knew exactly what he was doing the whole time.
Well, yeah, because how else would he get her to the point of where he needed her later? He had to put her through this so that she could, you know,
it reminded
what
me
he wanted later.
Regina, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Regina at the effigy or whatever little scene there in the town square reminded me of, you know, we've seen this a million times in shows where somebody feels like they're not appreciated, and then they somehow die or are presumed dead, and then they appear at the back of the funeral
to
kind of see what people think of them. This has been done 1,000 times.
Right.
But it was that same type of thing. You know, the evil queen, you know, let's shoot an arrow through her heart. Oh, but she has no heart. And let's light her on fire and all that. This is blasphemy. Don't say that. How can you do that? And she's jumping in the middle of it. and then you realize that no one really knows who she is.
Right.
You know, at that point, I would have really gotten scared. And they say, oh, man, Rumpel rumped me again. I cannot believe this. But she calls for him when they're going to cut her head off.
Right. He didn't show up.
Right.
Because, again, he saw the future.
Right.
He knew what was going to happen.
I did love the, you know, and we've talked, I love the goodness. King Leopold, all these people that are just so good. It's almost sickening, sweet, but with all this drama and all this just bad stuff going on, it's really nice to see good. And that's what we see with Snow.
Yeah.
Jumps in, saves her. And
because Snow saw was a peasant woman who did nothing wrong.
And, you know, it's almost kind of like what was that guy? Who was the guy? That was her friend that we saw back in the...
What?
Lancelot.
Lancelot.
Instead of Lancelot, I see a lot of Robin Hood in Snow.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, if they were going to kind of make a friend and mentor of her, I would have made it Robin Hood.
Yeah.
I'm going to write the show now.
Well,
I'm going to fix it.
Now, wait a second. Did you hear what she said when Regina asked her how she knew how to do all this stuff? A friend in another forest taught me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it probably was Robin Hood who taught her, because he would be from the Sherwood Forest, not the Enchanted Forest. So I would not be surprised if season 3 they'll show that he taught her how to do all this stuff.
I have not seen the most famous Robin Hood film.
Which one? Errol Flynn?
Yes. Mm. I have not seen that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the sense I got. Mm-hmm. Kind of coming in out of nowhere, saving the day, and then getting out of there. Right. I mean, that's kind of romantic, movies of that time. Anyway, that's kind of what I got out of that.
Yeah. I haven't seen it either, for the record.
The Regina and Henry little discussion in the beginning there across the street from the Royal Bank of Canada.
Mm-hmm. And George's Taverna.
And Mary Margaret's house, quote unquote, is right next to the
museum, which is
museum,
the post office, actually.
Post office. I'll stop geeking out now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but they're pulling a Lost in that they always have these really important stories told to one other person.
Right.
It's never whenever they're together. That's why I love that scene when Gold was there, Emma was there, Neil was there, and Henry was there. Mm-hmm. The whole truth came out. I love that. It was my favorite thing, because no one could lie anymore.
Right.
And no one could explain it away.
Right.
But see here, you know, Henry's like, well, no, maybe they want to take you. They probably didn't, but it's this whole one-to-one.
Well, and he got scared. You could see him getting scared of her.
Right.
And she realized that, and that's why she kind of...
And the old book, we talked about just not too many hours ago.
Right.
She pulled that magical book out and did old Men in Black kind of memory forgetter thing.
Yeah.
And then
flashy thing. Did you flashy thing me?
Yeah.
She flashy thinged him.
But
she
he would have forgotten. So anyway, her plan went forward. But it's very losty to me. So, I mean, she says, you know, so we'll get away first and then Storybrooke's going to be destroyed and everyone else will die.
And what's funny is because this is the other thing. This is the thing that's like, Regina, did you forget the conversation you had with your mother when she was threatening to kill everyone? And you said, no, Henry won't love me for that.
Yeah.
And then your whole plot was, let's go to fairy tale land and kill, and then everybody else will just die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how quickly she forgets. It hasn't been very long since her mother died, and since she had that conversation with her mother, and then she turns around and suggests, yeah, I'm going to kill everybody.
She's ruled by passion.
She is ruled by passion.
And it makes her blind.
It does.
And she,
but oh, my gravy. Really?
And she did forget. And even everyone keeps saying that. She won't do that because Henry will not like that. You know, everyone keeps saying that, and she forgets. So,
wow.
All right. So, yeah, well, Rumple got Regina again. She was rumpled, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when she tried to use magic, it wasn't there, and it was like, oh, my gosh. And even the troops didn't recognize her.
Well, no, of course not, because,
like,
again,
how does she know our names? Weird. You know, who's this peasant
because
girl?
Because what they saw was the other girl.
Yep. All right, so the Emma Tamara bumping into each other reminded me of Mary Margaret bumping into Catherine in the Dark Star Pharmacy where Mr. Clark worked.
Yeah.
And so then a little secret came out. And this secret was the list.
Yeah.
So, yep. And that just came to me right now. All right, so yeah, it's a magical list, and then the word trust came out. How can I trust you? Trust, trust, trust. That's a big theme.
Yeah, and you can see Emma didn't believe her at all. Just did not believe a word of what she was saying. Emma's smart. I knew Emma would figure out that she is the one that August was talking about. Emma, again, is right, and nobody wants to listen to her except for Henry. So they have a new operation, which is fantastic.
I love when Emma told Mary Margaret, don't Emma me. That was funny. There's these little phrases in there that
she's always got the funny one-liners.
And I love how Mary Margaret said, now look, your superpower is kind of not, it's just
not,
you know,
reliable.
It's at first I thought when Henry stepped over and started talking to Emma kind of after Mary Margaret left, I thought it was a shapeshift by somebody. Huh. That's what I thought.
But then who would it be a shapeshift of?
I don't know.
Oh, I knew he was eavesdropping. I knew he was.
I'm ever since Cora started that stuff, I'm always leery of anybody that just kind of shows up.
Well, the only one who does that now is Regina.
True. True.
And
all right, so Operation Cobra is back on.
Except for now it's got to be called something else, which makes sense. Because Cobra was about the whole, you know, curse being broken. Now this is about...
See, now I'm getting excited. It's like Kung Fu now. It's like Operation Praying Mantis and the Tiger Claw and the Snake. Oh, boy. I love the Kung Fu. I was so confused listening to all that stuff, but I just love the show. It's just pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right, so we take the elevator down to the magical cavern.
And I'm thinking to myself, why are we going down there?
Plot holes. Oh, that's where the plot holes are. Oh, that's where they exist.
The plot hole, the ginormous plot hole?
Oh, the huge plot hole.
Oh, for love.
Bigger than any dragon is the plot hole. Dear Lord.
Plot hole swallowed the dragon.
Yeah. So the wristband, the wristband we see again, they used, Hook gave one to Emma.
Yep.
And then he kept one.
Yes.
And so...
You watch. Somehow the other one's going to come into play.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe that will be the one to counteract the removing of the spell.
Mm. I'm with you. I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So let's... now, listen to me, everyone who's listening. I am not a hater.
Nope.
I'm just trying to be upfront and honest.
Mm-hmm.
I was not as worked up as I was with the whole doctor thing.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you were more worked up. But this time, I'm kind of
And I wasn't even,
up.
Not even close to how I felt about the doctor.
But this is a huge plot hole.
Oh, major.
Okay, so let's... And I know how they're going to get out of it. I know what Adam and Eddie are going to say on the official mm-hmm. podcast that they're probably recording tonight, or they probably recorded maybe yesterday or Friday.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is what I think. Well, okay. So initially, Maleficent was captured, trapped.
Right.
In as a
dragon form.
Mm-hmm. Now, we saw her change.
Right.
From human to dragon.
Yes.
So that was already kind of there.
Right.
I guess. Now, initially, we thought that the dragon form was how she was trapped.
Right.
During the curse.
Right.
Now, we learn that not only could she not be destroyed.
Well, and that's my whole thing. Tell me how Emma... reduced her to ashes with her father's sword
right.
to get the egg out for Rumpel.
Right.
Maleficent is a pile of ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Ashes are not living things. They're dead.
I know.
They're dead.
I know.
They're dead.
Yes.
Can I say it again? They're dead.
Yes.
You can't just put them together and they've become alive again. It doesn't work that way.
I know. So Adam and Eddie, and remember tonight they was mentioned a what was that thing? A trigger. What did she say?
The trigger.
No. There was something else that Goal mentioned about the curse. There was a safety valve or something like that. There was some type of a thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
There's Adam and Eddie's safety valve is when Regina said she whatever form she's in. Whatever form she's in.
Okay, but what? Okay, so let's just go down the whole path here. Hook gets pushed down into the area where she was.
Yes.
Where her ashes are now laying on the ground.
Right.
But the minute he gets pushed down into it, all of a sudden, trembling, and they form into some weird creature thing that's
it's
not
like
human.
Resident
it's
Evil.
Not, yeah,
yes.
It's not human. It's not dragon. What's that thing called? The Cthulhu?
Watch it. Watch your language. Careful.
There's some game or something or other that all these people talk about these, and I don't know. It's like C-T-H... U-L-H-U, I don't know, I don't know, I can't say it, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
There's some mythical creature that they all talk about, and I'm like, whatever that is. Anyway.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Okay.
No.
What are you talking about?
There's some mythical creature, and it's spelled C-T-H...
Clutho? Yeah, I think I kind of know what you're talking about.
I don't know what it is, but Cthulhu, I can't even say it.
Okay.
Anyway, point is that that's all I know is it had like little tentacly-like things or whatever is, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken. But anyway, she reminded me of some creature from Futurama, too, whatever
all
that
right.
thing is with the
okay.
with the beard, weird tentacle beard thing. But point is, it didn't look human, didn't look dragon, didn't look anything. And it's like, wait a second, wait. So, she's been ashes now
right.
for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks.
Yep.
Possibly a couple even months.
Mm-hmm.
And the curse broke. The curse freaking broke.
Uh-huh. Right.
And she didn't, like, regenerate until Hook got down there?
Yeah, I know. That's a plot hole.
I don't understand that. I don't know how they're going to get out of
now,
that one.
The only thing I'll say is maybe Regina magically something it. I don't know.
Who knows? But more importantly, the first iteration of what she was, when Hook like pushed her against something else, all of a sudden there was more ashes that kind of like helped.
Right.
So I'm like going, no.
It reminded me of the Mummy.
Yeah. And it was kind of that too.
More kind of stuff kind of glommed on and created more of this thing. At the end, it kind of looked like a, what's that Egyptian dog?
Oh, Anubis?
Yes. It kind of had two kind of long ears or something. It was weird.
Like she was wearing that crown thing that she wore on her head. Only she didn't have all of her head, and there was still parts where that was kind of like, it was almost like zombie,
Egyptian
but it wasn't.
Hair horns. Okay.
Bottom line is, I'm sorry. I gotta ask, how the heck are they gonna get out of this that even is going to make even a fraction of a hint of, yeah, that makes sense. I don't see how.
They're going to say it's magic, and they're going to say, remember what Regina said. Because it's all on Regina now. She goes, whatever form she's in, that's how she's trapped.
She was trapped. Then she should stay ashes.
I know.
Hello.
I know. So
Regina didn't know that she was like going to be like exploded to a million little tiny ashes.
I don't know.
When Emma had to go down there to save Henry, she didn't realize. Come on.
Yep.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, Adam and Eddie, we still love you.
We do.
But we're trying to figure this one out.
Struggling big time with this one.
And Team 7, you know we got big love for you.
Oh my gosh.
But this is tough. This is real tough. So.
Yeah, because it makes zero sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get the whole magical thing, but it violates just about every rule they've told us up to this point. So. Yeah.
Now. Here's my other thing is she looked pretty powerful, you know, the squealing and screaming
and all these different things, like a dragon.
How did Hook get out of there?
That's another thing. Okay. How the heck? And so, is she still down there trapped in whatever form this is?
Now, the only thing I'll say is this, and this is the only way they may get out of this. Maybe that's Maleficent as Hook. I don't know. That's the only way that I can kind of. I know.
I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. I know, but I'm just. Look, Hook is resourceful. We know he is. We know he gets out of things. We know he gets, you know, himself out of jams real easily. He's very charming. He's very, you know, dashing. And
we didn't
striking.
See what happened to her or.
No, we have no idea.
Whatever.
We have no idea. We have no idea what that was. We think that's Maleficent. We don't know. And yeah, so anyway.
Okay, so the take a breath and we're going to move forward out of the cavern of plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it was really interesting that, so then Regina pulled something out of the Snow White's coffin that was kind of hidden there.
Yes.
I don't know what was in there.
And here's another plot hole. She didn't make that coffin. The dwarves did.
Right.
You think they didn't know about some sort of secret compartment?
Well, I mean, you know, and
what did she pull out? It looked to me like a very large diamond.
Yeah, that or a tooth or something. I couldn't tell. I'll try and get a screenshot.
It was very difficult to see, but it looked like a diamond to me. It looked very reflective and gemstone.
Maybe it was a special stone that maybe they
Possibly.
Put in there that maybe had magic or something.
But again, how would she know about that, A?
Yeah,
and number
no,
two...
True.
I thought that coffin last time we saw it, most of the glass was gone, not like two little pieces.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can.
So I'm struggling with that too, because if I remember correctly, way back in season one, when Henry was stuck down there and, you know, and then they showed us where it was even further, it looked an awful lot like to me that coffin was mostly destroyed and not intact.
Henry was down there?
He was in the mine shaft.
Right.
Okay, so...
Okay,
well, which,
yeah. And then, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
they showed us, they showed her dropping the piece down, and it went even further, which again...
I don't even want to go there. I don't do not even want to go there. I know what you're talking about.
Well, but our listeners need to know where we're going. We're going with the huge plot hole of the fact that, the coffin was supposedly at the bottom of that mine shaft, which is out on the outskirts of town,
right,
not under the library. Tell me how the coffin all of a sudden is magically underneath the library.
That's another thing I've been kind of not wanting to say, but we're saying it tonight.
Well, we are, because, I mean, I'm just saying, look, it's there.
Yeah.
It's just very, I mean, I know it's suspension of disbelief, but wow.
Now, okay, so people might say, well, Jeff, now, come on. They took the elevator down and they walked. They didn't walk 12 miles.
No, they didn't.
They weren't sweating and all dusty. They walked just a little bit down the shaft, the mine shaft there, whatever it was.
Right.
And they came upon the Snow White's coffin there.
Right.
Okay. Now, the way it is set out, it still kind of makes sense with the whole Emma sword killing the dragon at the end of season one. It still looks and it fits in that type of the way they presented it.
Right.
But not the way it was with Still Small Voice.
Right.
And that mine shaft and the dropping down and all that. That just didn't. You're right. So
it just didn't fit. But anyway. So let's move on.
If anyone's still listening, we're going to keep going. All right. So we went back to the tree cave. We haven't seen this tree cave since Snow Falls.
Right.
And I love the tree cave. I think it's kind of cool.
It almost wasn't really the same one, though. It was slightly different. It was where she had built just a nice little lean-to out in the forest. Because the tree cave it looked similar, but I don't think it was the same one.
Well, then forget what I said. Okay, so, but Regina did get her wish, you know, she got close to Snow, and it was really interesting, and this is, again, have been done a million times, you know, especially in, you know, Asian films, samurai films, where someone is rescued, and they're kind of nursed back to health. I think there was a scene with Mr. Miyagi in Karate Kid where he was, you know, nursing him back to health and all this with special herbs and all that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've seen that. We've seen that a lot. I think even Mulan had that kind of a thing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway.
That's true.
Well,
I was going to say, and also very similar to that is where, in fact, in a recent movie, The Change Up, with Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds, where they switched places when Ryan Reynolds went to go talk to Jason Bateman's wife, because he was Jason Bateman in they'd switched bodies, you know, she revealed things to him that she was revealing to the friend, not to her husband, not knowing it was her husband. And it was really kind of an eye opener for him. I've always thought that'd be kind of an interesting thing, is to switch bodies with somebody. Just to hear, you know, and get a perspective, somebody else's perspective on, you know, me or whatever.
It's like Fantasy Island.
But then
never
again,
ends up well.
Well, exactly. That's my whole point of why I wouldn't want to do it truthfully, because I'm sure it would not end very
just
well.
Be you.
Exactly.
That's good. All right. So Snow was telling a story about the stranger's good changed me.
Right.
And so that really got Regina to kind of consider, I can be good. Which it takes us back to the beginning of season two. You know, can I be good? I want to be good. And again, it's a cyclical kind of a story. You know, I know it's fairy tale land and all that, but it's still, it's kind of like, really? Again? With the, okay, all right. I mean, I it is interesting that an evil character is struggling to be good, and that kind of gives it a roundness to the character. And I get that, but it's just, it's kind of like hearing the same song again on the radio. It's like, I've heard that song before. It was good the last time, but.
Right. But remember with this was the backstory. This was an even older backstory than what we'd already seen from Snow and Regina. And it is an interesting point because it showed us, you know, where Snow was being herself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what is real interesting now is this actually reminds me of the Huntsman, you know, the whole thing with the Huntsman.
True.
And where she had said, if if nothing else, make sure the queen reads this letter. And it was very hard. And let her know, I mean, every word of it.
Right.
And it was real interesting when, you know, when Regina saw firsthand that Snow was being very sincere. And she realized, I don't know if maybe she realized, you know, that the huntsman, the note the huntsman gave her really was truly, you know, genuine. Because she didn't believe in it, you know, when it happened. So I'm wondering if this actually made her realize, oh my gosh, she really does mean this. And Regina saw a chance to be a family.
Yeah. I had been on board with the whole Snow kind of told the secret and that ruined everything for Regina until I heard her lie tonight. Now I'm like, man, that ain't cool. Regina.
Oh, when Regina lied?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said that Snow poisoned her own father.
Yeah.
You know, to get the queen.
Right, to get the people's love.
Yeah. And I was just like, you could have just told the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
But see, anyway. She didn't figure that being truthful would have actually helped.
Yeah.
She was hell-bent on revenge, remember?
This is like a big intervention for me tonight. I don't know. I'm really trying to kind of work all this through. You know, Dr. Phil's going to call. He's going to talk to me. All right. So Operation Praying Mantis is now in effect. And the loose floorboard. That was kind of a tough scene, the whole playing out of it, because she almost got there. Then she lifted off that section.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Mary Margaret with the knife in the, under the thing.
Yep.
But this time I thought that maybe she saw something, but nobody else did.
Mm.
I'm trying to work with these scenes. I really am.
Here's the thing. I don't know what was down there. It looked like there was a pipe underneath, and that's interesting because that would have been, you know, that's probably the heating pipe or whatever.
Right.
But what killed me is, oh, so she steps in one spot and she hears a squeaky floorboard.
Yeah.
It's an old house. Of course there's going to be squeaky floorboards.
For 1 second, I thought that maybe Neil was in on it with Tamara.
Mm-hmm. And no, he's totally, knew. Yeah, no, he's okay. Totally innocent of this. He's totally innocent. What I think is he may have seen something from his angle that was on the other side, because when she opened up the board, there was a cross beam in the middle of the two, and there's sort of two sections.
True.
She only stuck her hand in one section.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Neil comes back later, sticks his hand in, and finds something else in there.
That's the only saving grace for that. I mean, look, I can accept the fact that there was nothing down there.
Right.
Cool. I'm fine with that. But to make it really cool is if he came back and opened it up and found something in there and knew she was right. I mean, that's kind of a classic dramatic believing in somebody, but not the other person not knowing it.
Right.
And it's a mystery. So.
Right.
All right. You know, and then the discussion about, you know, Regina the peasant talking about the evil queen, you know. Well, wait, isn't there good inside her? There must be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it too late for her, you know, to Snow? And Snow was like, well, no, it's never too late. And then they come upon all the dead bodies.
Right.
Again, it reminds me of the that area where Cora killed all those people.
Mm-hmm.
That came to life with the hearts later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then she almost killed Regina.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I mean, I know it's fairy tale land and all that, but Snow, at her core, I know she's good. And I guess Regina knew that. So she goes, she's never going to shoot me.
Right.
She's never going to shoot me with an arrow. I can get away from here.
I did like the fact that as they were walking and as they were talking, Regina started to pull the sword out.
Yeah, right.
She was like, wait, you're going to arm me? She's like, well, yeah, you never know. I mean, just stay behind me. And Regina's like, oh my God, revenge is mine. I'm going to have it.
Yep.
And then she started talking. And then the whole conversation turned about, you know, is there good in her? Oh, I know there is. I've seen it. You know, is it possible? Do you think it's too late? What if she were right here? You know, blah, blah, blah. Would you kill her? Would you forgive her? You know, that whole, you know, just desperate for love. But yet she doesn't want it Well, she wants revenge almost more than she wants love. And that's the sad fact. That was the first time I've actually seen Regina actually consider dropping the revenge bit.
Right. For that scene with the arming her reminded me of one of the scenes with Aurora, Mulan, Mary Margaret, and Emma. Mm-hmm. Remember the whole... There was a similar type of scene there.
Right.
So... for a second, when they had that little discussion when Regina came up in the elevator and with Hook, and they came out, Greg and Tamara came out, I thought that they had found some type of a kryptonite for the Evil Queen.
Right.
They have, but it's kind of this, you know, I mean, Tamara's kind of like this Einstein of,
oh yeah,
you know, science.
How does she know this?
Right. You know, so, you know, and Greg is in there too.
How does he know this?
This band has this, you know, science behind it, and it's blocking your whatever. And I think if somebody would look at it and they go, there's no science, it's anyway. So,
you know what I think? I gotta be honest with you, is that when he was talking twice tonight, Greg, all I saw was this little boy. I want my daddy.
Right.
I'm like, dude, you're grown up.
Yep. So
I get that he wants to be with his father. Totally get that. Totally get that it was a very tragic circumstance that kept him and his father apart. But just the whole, if you're going to be an evil whatever.
Yeah.
Don't talk like a 5-year-old.
Kidnapping and all that.
Yeah, don't talk like a 5-year-old. Don't kidnap people. It just struck me as kind of funny.
So that's huge questions I have is, you know, what is the science? I expected the doctor to be a part of this somehow, some way, that they're in contact with him, that they have his card or something, Dr. Frankenstein, something.
Well, you know, the thing that cracks me up is, okay, so I know, I get, look, Greg is on board with all this magic stuff, but he never really saw it when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So how is he just all of a sudden okay with all of this?
Okay. Yeah.
It's just kind of one of those things. He's just, I don't know. He's so in love with Tamara that, you know, and again, I still want to know, what is her motivation?
Yeah.
What is the reason why is she doing what she's doing?
You are an actress. What's my motivation? okay, this question is for the folks that live in Vancouver, especially if you live near Steveston. Sarah and Karen and any of the other folks, I have a request. Can you ask Kate at Sarah's Old Fashioned Ice Cream if her ice cream was in the shot? With,
I wouldn't be surprised if it is
with Emma and Henry. Mm-hmm, I want to know that.
That was the first thing I thought. That's the first thing I thought was, I'll bet you that's some of Kate's ice cream, and it looked like it was
maybe Henry's.
Henry's.
I mean,
flavor.
I can't remember exactly what was in it, but it was kind of.
I know it had chocolate in it.
Yeah. So if someone could get me that,
it almost looked marshmallowy though too. Yeah, so I was kind of like, I wonder if it was Grumpy's Road.
No, Grumpy's Row was coffee, chocolate, and
right.
All that. There was no. Anyway, okay. So if you could find that out, that would be fantastic. That was the one big burning question that I had. So the next scene is when I remember when they were driving toward the bean field. I go, oh no.
Yep.
Nope. It's going to be either gone or burnt up.
Well, I knew it was going to be burnt. I knew it was going to be burnt to a crisp.
So then in the end, we have...
Who would do this?
Right.
Who else would do it? There's only one answer, girl. There's only one answer here.
Yeah.
We all know who it is.
So the final part of it is science versus magic. And I know that a number of people in other podcasts have discussed it, but we brought it up as well. Mm-hmm. Because that's really been the big kind of battle. Mm-hmm. Is especially, you know, just a discussion between Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, and
Rumpel
Gold is, you know, I need you to fix my arm. He goes, go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. You know, well, magic, I need magic.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you would. You know, I mean, that's all he was waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, you know, Rumpelstiltskin knew that there was something in science that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't magic. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just magic was powerful, but yeah. So that's that.
Mm-hmm.
We made it through. And I hope people are still listening toward the end now. So.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our first thoughts. And I hope the ratings are up. I guess, according to Adam Horowitz, there's some magical rating thing that gets reported toward the end of the week. And it's just all these different editions. And wow. I don't know where I can get it. I don't know where I can see it.
No.
But...
Well, and so, we only have a few more episodes left anyway, right?
Yeah.
Like two more.
Second Star of the Right is next week.
Mm-hmm. It's
the week after, straight on till morning.
So
that's the finale.
The finale. Yeah.
Yep. Part one, part two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here we go. There's no more, well, I hope. I've, you know. As of yet, we haven't seen Aurora. So they need to be setting up all these different storylines to converge for the finale.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the I Want to Find My Father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we've got the Hook thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Regina
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
We've got no beans for the good guys. Mm-hmm. We've got at least one bean or a bean stalk for, you know,
Regina
and her side.
She has the trigger.
So, yeah. Yeah. Okie dokie.
It'll be interesting to
and
see what
we
happens.
Got, you know, I would assume Maleficent still is alive, around, somewhere.
We don't know what that's all about yet.
Maybe Hook kind of connived her.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't kill me. I've got a Hook.
Maybe he charmed her.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, beautiful.
Yeah.
Flash of curly whites at her.
Don't ask me compared to what. You are beautiful, though. You know. All right. So thanks for listening and thanks for putting up with our honesty and our wrestling with plot holes and crawling in and out of them and all around down in the cavern. And boy,
well,
howdy.
Hopefully the season finale will be really awesome.
I hope.
I think
so.
We're going to be left with a lot of questions, though.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a lot of resolution.
So help us out. If you are listening and go, oh, I can explain that. Oh, I can explain that. I can explain. Send it in.
Yeah.
You know,
we'd love to hear it.
You know our email address works and you know our voicemail works.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really nice. We're going to do a live podcast right before the finale. So I'll set up the date. The Saturday right before the final episode, and it would be cool to get a phone call maybe mm-hmm. from a cast member. That would be kind of neat.
That would be pretty cool.
Or in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm just kind of saying a phone call, you know, live.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be pretty cool.
If you are interested, email me.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, send you questions. If I need to kind of go through some channels, I'll do whatever I need to do. But I think that would really be special and be cool. If any cast members are open to that, please let mm-hmm. me know.
Yep.
And we'll set up something Saturday night. I know it's kind of, you know, it's weekend and all that kind of stuff. But that's when we go live. So anyway, thanks so much, everybody. I want to send big love out to everybody. And it sounds like we need some big love too, so
yeah.
we'll take some back if you want to send some to us. So take care, and we will be talking at you soon. See you guys.
Yep, sounds good. Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.